Innovating by Paul Birch. Episode 3, One for the Road.
So here we are. Honest Jem and his silent friend, nearly at the end of our tall tale. Though I'll set me sen, I'm a right good judge of character. I knew you was trouble as soon as I laid eyes on you, though I didn't say so. That's why you don't talk, ain't it? You've been branked. There's a hole in your tongue, but you try your best to hide it. Marks on side of your head from gossip's bridle. I seen them, plain as day to a fella like me. They put the bridle on you as punishment. You talk too much, so the magistrate stopped you talking at all. Made your tongue useless, but that made you right good for what I had in mind. Oh yes, it's a good job you're as quiet as the grave.
Put your back into it, Monty. We must dig up the dragoon's body while we still have oil in our lamps.
There we were, followed them suspicious Hamiltons as they left the York Tavern at midnight and ended up at All Saints Churchyard.
I was not born for this, Sal. It's a nasty business taking the dead to Scotland.
Well, I don't see the Scottish complaining. Nothing a Scotsman likes better than getting his hands on a dead Englishman.
When we left service at the Fitzwilliams, I thought we were making a fresh start.
Why should we break our backs to keep them rich when we can use the brains that God gave us to make our own fortune? I love you because you're a man that won't settle for less than he's worth.
And I love you because you're you, Sam. Because no one else is. You have my hooks, and that's a fact.
Then prove it by digging up the dead just like I asked you. I don't ask for much, but I'll ask you for another corpse, and if you love me, you'll provide it.
But I ain't a clue what I'm doing.
What's to know? You dig them up, you package them like tea in a box, take them north and get plump in the pocket by selling them to other end.
We already had one stinking body in a box. Why another?
Why else but for the money? The Scottish doctors will be delighted to have more corpses to make the studies on. The crash and the delay gave us the means and the opportunity to double the profit on the same journey.
Folk are already getting suspicious. Look at that hullabaloo over the parson's stinking hams.
Don't you see the look of it? Any stink will be blamed on his luggage. And no one will think twice about our happy load.
Well, this poor dragoon don't look too happy.
Thrown from a coach? Why would he? But he won't beat first and he won't beat last. Strip him.
Why me?
Because you're my dutiful husband and cos I told you. Strip him, for I'll not have us done for robbing. Close his property and we're not common thieves.
Well, I am. And I was happier being a common thief than being in this business.
This business will pay more. We'll be right proper. We won't have to steal no more.
We're taking his body now, aren't we?
Taking it from whom? He ain't got a use for it no more. And who else can claim him? Besides, it's no use to no one but them surgeons. And this is for the benefit of medical science. Here, let me put this rope around him and you can haul him from his grave.
We watched the Hamiltons from behind a stone wall as they did the devil's work.
That's it, Monty. You're making a fine job of it.
A fine job? There was all a hurry with too much talk. Rank amateurs. Still with a body worth a bawbee or two. Oh, yeah. These Hamiltons had snatched a body and a carriage from the yard by which to take it back to tavern. Easy enough. For Peter, the ostler is fond of both ale and sleep, and he drinks down both in good measure. So Mr. Hamilton, who knows what's what, took the reins.
Come up now, up.
And we took to our heels and ran fast and followed them back. And I says to you, we must stop them, for there is surely a fat purse in this. And you smiled and said nothing. To that I says, this is dangerous work, and you must be careful or you will get hurt. And to that you says, everything I need you to hear with that pistol of yours. Back to the tavern, says I, and we was agreed. By the time we caught up with him, They were playing their game in stables. It were hard to tell what smelt worse, horses or bodies. For they had the dragoon on floor next to an open box, with another smaller corpse which they had brought up from south. The stink were enough to make the parson's mouth water. And they was making a right big zero, cramming them corpses like baggage into a tight space of luggage.
Who's that there?
Tis me, the guard. Honest Jem. Now this is a sight.
Mr. Hamilton, your pistol. We are undone.
No need for that, for my right quiet friend has his barking iron aimed right at you both.
You have us, sir.
First time I've been called a sir. No need to butter me, for I'm not a piece of bread.
This is a mucky business, granted, but we have not broken the law.
Tell that to the magistrate.
We are simply supplying bodies to the Scottish medical establishment.
For the benefit of humankind.
Benefit? Likes of you are more like carrion crow, picking at human wreckage to see what you can get.
Dead bodies have no owners. It's not a crime.
Says you, but I knows law, and law says it's against common decency. Law says being indecent is a 12-month in York Castle.
We meant no harm.
Breaking rock for new roads, which is fitting.
I tell you, we just wanted to help the doctors, who pay well.
Very well. We've coin to spare, if you've a mind.
Why, yuck. The pair of you are not as shiny as when I first took you aboard the Flyer.
Why should we be? Anyone can strap on fine togs and a voice in this day and age. When a coach speeds you to another town, when you can wear your airs and graces as you please, no one takes a blind bit of notice.
Sal's right there. Everyone's afraid of robbers outside the carriage. They don't think of those highwaymen who travel inside. Your friend don't speak. Maybe you'll turn your own eyes blind. See? Have a nice gold watch. Courtesy of our friend, the parson, which is yours.
Monty!
Sorry, Sal. I couldn't help myself, so I helped myself. This gold do tick, Jim. And it'll help you in your line of business if you'll leave us 2 hours.
Leave you to body snatching?
Doctoring.
I'll take watch. I'll not say I'll keep it for myself.
This one's slippery, Sal. I can't tell if he's straight or crooked.
This one? Oh, he's a cove full of winks. Take the watch and go. I said, take it. And don't get yourself full of the sorrows now, honest Jem. We've paid you for your pains. And what's it to these bodies anyway? Their souls has fled, and so shall we. Besides, if they can't use his body no more, we know some fellas what can.
No one loses.
No harm done.
We all keep our lips tight. Take what's yours, Jem.
I've taken it, enter. Here, take the parson's watch now. Keep it tight about you, lest there's a felony.
He's been bought, Mrs. Hamilton. Go, sirs, and leave us to our work.
I've taken it, and now I'll raise the alarm. Oh, help! Help!
Monty, do for him! He's betrayed us! Your pistol!
I will do for him. I'll do for them both.
Shoot him, or he'll put us in grave. Nay, don't tarry, it's why I bought you, ain't it? Shoot now! He has a pistol. You must shoot him now before it's too late. Murder! Help! Tom! We're in stables!
Sal. Sal. They've finished me.
You have murdered him! I will have you all. I will!
I don't trust a look, me. Not when look can go both ways. And 'twas as well for the Hamiltons to do it same, for their look had turned as bad as the parson's lunch. When them shots rang out, one of Peter's horses kicked out and felled Mrs. Hamilton cold. Now there were 4 bodies on the stable floor, and just us 2 as witnesses. By heaven, it were a right good job one of us could talk.
Jem, what's the matter? Where are you?
In the stables there. Come on, there's mischief. Mrs. Flowers!
Get on in there and find out what's what.
By God, what's all this?
A bad business, Peter. Knaves plying a wicked trade. Ah, caught them at it.
Are these them Hamiltons?
They wore the Hamilton name like they wore them rich clothes. I doubt either belonged to them.
Yeah, she's waking. Though state of her, she might not wake for long.
One of the horses did for her.
I can see that right enough. Tom, fetch surgeon.
Tom, it's that other knave wants fetching. Him quiet in shadows there. Him with gun.
Oh, here's another, that shifty fellow who don't speak. After him, Tom.
Mind out, for it's him what did it.
Come here, you, or I'll bray you bloody. Peter, throw me rope from over there and we'll have the rascal.
Take his pistol now.
What are you all doing at this time of night? There's enough noise to wake dead. What?
Mrs. Flowers, there's been a dose of wickedness here.
A dose? Look at all this here.
Belindy, Mrs. Flowers, but Honest Jem caught him at it.
Caught him at what? Looks like bloody murder.
Not at the start of it. They was all stealing bodies and taking them up past the border. They tried to take another after the crash. Body snatched the dragoon.
That Mr. and Mrs. Hamilton? I don't believe it.
Look at the state of their hands and knees. They've been at it all right. They're covered in muck.
Mrs. Flowers, you asked me to keep an eye on that quiet one, and sure enough, he creeps out with Hamilton's. When I confronted him, the silent villain took a shot at me and killed that Mr. Hamilton instead. He were in on it.
You rogue. You'll swing for this.
I'll fetch Magistrate Godfrey Higgins. He'll have Rascal in dock. Happening in my inn, under my roof. I'll be ruined.
It's my fault, Mrs. Flowers. I trusted him. I trusted them all.
Too honest. That's your trouble, Jem.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you searched him. You wouldn't find that missing Parson's watch on his person. Oh, my eyes. They was all rogues and I could not see it.
Come here, you, and let's see what you have in your pockets. You're right, Jem. Here's the parson's watch, as plain as day.
It's a shame he can't talk and explain himself. Else would have a confession. Oh, Lord, what if people think I'm to blame?
Oh, there's no round here who'd think that.
Besides, me and Tom, he has seen it all with our own eyes.
It's you what put pay to all this. I can't speak for magistrate, but I'd be surprised if you didn't come out of this with a few more shillings, Jem.
Don't care about that, Mrs. Flowers. All I cares about is my honest name.
It's a bloody business, and you were lucky to escape so free.
I told you, Peter. No matter what trouble occurs, I always comes out clean. So then, here we finally are. Our tall tale is done. And you're still not drinking? No. I suppose them fresh chains of yours prevent the occasion. Oh, don't look so bitter as a nettle. I knew you were a wrong'un, right from the off. Dex one to no one, as the saying goes. And when I found you had no speech, well, you don't pick up a gift like that on the Great North Road very often. I couldn't say no to that. Aye, I've put Peter Hamilton's and I've stuck the blame on you. And you can't say I didn't warn you. I told you straight. This is dangerous work, and you must be careful, or you will get hurt. And now you will get hurt. Taken to colonies, or swung from a noose. Easy now, or it will go worse for you. Shame you can't just tell truth, but on the other hand, a truth is something I've always avoided. Still, you can go to your grave knowing that Honest Jem has a new trade. A body snatching business run straight out of York Tavern. Turns out them Scottish surgeons need a new supplier, and me, knowing the road like I do, I'm just the soul to provide it. Who knows, if they swing you from castle, I might dig you up myself, put you on the carriage north. Wouldn't that be grand?
They've come to take him.
Then let me give him his due. Have a final drink now. Yeah, I'll hold the cup.
What are you doing?
In London, they used to stop by taverns and give a man a drink before they took him to be hanged at Tyburn. I thought we could do the same.
It's very kind, considering he tried to kill you.
They gave it a name, Mrs. Flowers. One for the road, they used to say. So here you are. One for the road, lad. One for the road.
Innovating was written by Paul Birch. The cast in order of appearance. Jem was played by Christy Barnes. Coachman Tom, Phil Massey. Mrs. Hamilton, Emma Wise. The Parson and Peter were played by Paul Birch. The Dragoon, Charlie Kayser. And Mr. Hamilton and Jake by Mark Gowland. The Oyster Cellar was Kirsty O'Rourke. Jane, Livy Potter. Annie, Julie Speedy, and Mrs. Flowers, was Heather Carter. The production team, sound designer Matteo Falco. Music was composed by Christina Crespo. Production assistant, Kirsty O'Rourke. Production runner, Charlie Kayser. Historical and research leads, Sylvia and Peter Hogarth. With special thanks to project partners Explore York and York Festival of Ideas. Innovating is a community audio drama produced and directed by Kate Valentine. For further information, visit innovatingaudio.co.uk.